In speaking of Jesus, John, in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 24 through 29, gives us clear instruction to remain in him. Those three words are used by Brother David Johnson as his sermon title on this Words of Life program. We are grateful for the support of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and contribute to this weekly gospel effort. Our studio is located in the Hamburg Church of Christ in Sellersburg, Indiana. Brother David Johnson is the minister of the Sellersburg Church of Christ, also close by. We now worship our Lord with song.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul.
Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in worship. Thank you for loving us so much. We know that some of our listeners do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray for their salvation. We also pray that you will meet their health needs and personal concerns. Some of your faithful servants are facing serious persecution problems from Satan. Please bless each one of them with your protection and strength and faith. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, Brother David Johnson will give us clear instruction from 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 29. Remain in him.
It's good to be together again as we consider the Word of God, apply it to our lives, and witness its truths to others. The title for the lesson is Remain in Him. And our text is taken from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 29. Please listen to the Word of God. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Wonderful words, and certainly important for the believer. Steadfast perseverance in the Lord is so very important. We must remain in Him, regardless of what difficulties we have to go through. Never forsake the Lord. Never forsake the faith in the Lord. The great British preacher of the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, concisely stated it this way, quote, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark," end of quote, and was saved. We must never forget that the word persevere comes from the prefix per, meaning through, coupled with the word severe, which literally means to keep pressing on, trusting God, looking up, even through severe circumstances. The perseverance of the saints consists of our attitude that every day is a new beginning. Yesterday may have been a disaster, but today doesn't have to be, as we strive to turn our troubles over to God. Let's learn from our text on the necessity to continue in Him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. This is what He promised us, even eternal life. Who else can truly promise eternal life? Only God. Remaining true to the gospel will ensure that believers remain in the Father and the Son. The ultimate gift of God for those who remain faithful, who persevere, is eternal life with God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, "A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." That is to those who remain faithful to Him. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. The Apostle John continues in his warning, just as relevant today as it was in the first century. 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 through 27. "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him." John is not denying the importance of the gifted teachers in the church age, but indicates that neither those teachers nor any believers are dependent solely on human wisdom or the opinions of men for moral or spiritual truth. God's Holy Spirit, the anointing, ultimately teaches, ultimately guards and guides true believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit into God's truth. The goal of believers is to persevere in faithfulness and in sound doctrine and godly conduct, matching God's principles to our practice. Always remain in Him. Persevere. Never give up. He was 7 years old when his family lost their Indiana farm. He had to drop out of school and go to work. 2 years later, his beloved mother died. When he was 22 years old, he started a business. Within a year, it went belly up. He ran for the state legislature and lost. Someone hired him to run a store, but fired him a few months later. So he applied to law school, only to be rejected. A friend loaned him money to start a new business. Within a year, he filed for bankruptcy. It took him 17 years to pay off his debt. Again, he made a run at politics. He finally got a rare taste of success. The year he took office, he got engaged. It seemed that fortune was finally smiling on him. But on the eve of their wedding, his fiancée died of typhoid fever, and he plunged into suicidal despair. He spent the next 6 months in bed. He recovered enough to get back into the political scene, but was defeated again. His friends tried to cheer him up by pushing him into an arranged marriage. It would be the great disaster of his life, consigning him to 23 years with a difficult wife. Again, he ran for public office, suffering yet another defeat. Then his 3-year-old son died. After a season of grief, he finally won an election, only to lose his bid for re-election. He then ran for a minor office, only to be rejected again. After licking his wounds for 5 years, he ran for the United States Senate and lost. Sympathetic colleagues nominated him for vice president. He finished dead last amongst all the candidates. 2 years later, he picked himself up off the floor and ran for the Senate a second time. Again, he was defeated, giving him the dubious distinction of being the biggest political loser in United States history. It's amazing that 2 years later, he somehow found the courage to run for President of the United States. And in 1860, after decades of political failures and political and personal setbacks, Abraham Lincoln became the 16th President of the United States of America. But his euphoria was short-lived. As the country careened toward civil war, he was terribly vilified across the South by most voters. Newspapers lampooned him, calling him the, quote, gorilla from Illinois, end quote. Then the Union of States dissolved. There were calls for the president's impeachment. His generals refused his orders, and cabinet members plotted against him. Then his 11-year-old son died, and his wife descended into madness. In the end, he was denied the pleasure of savoring his greatest triumph when he was assassinated only 6 days after the Civil War ended. As he stood by the president's deathbed, the Secretary of State whispered, quote, "He now belongs to the ages," end quote. 2 days later, on Good Friday, preachers across much of America eulogized Abraham Lincoln for having saved the Union of these United States. We have gone through a long stretch of difficulties and defeats. We might remember Abraham Lincoln's story. An amazing story of perseverance, of overcoming setbacks and disasters. Or even better, even more so, remember the words of Jesus Christ. Quote, "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Matthew 24, verse 13. And also the words of Jesus' half-brother, James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Really? Pure joy? Facing trials is pure joy? Not that we would ever seek to bring on trials of our own accord, but instead when they come, and they will, the trials will come that we will strive, yes, struggle, to remain faithful to the end. Our joy is certainly not in the trials, but instead joy in the Lord, who will carry us through the trials. Our joy that transcends trials is in our unchanging, faithful, personal relationship in Christ Jesus. We must remain in Him, and He will carry us through. The Apostle John goes on to remind all believers of great truths as we continue in Him and as believers have been transformed. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. "And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him." Continue in Him or abide in Him means to stay steadfast in Him, to be an overcomer. Jesus reveals a great promise to all persevering believers. It's found, for example, in John chapter 15 and verse 4, which says, in part, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Believers need not go through trials alone. The Lord is with us, even within us by His Spirit, comforting, guiding, supporting. This we must apprehend by faith. How deep is our faith? Especially when trials come. By God's sovereign grace, believers are saved. And that same grace will in the resurrection or the rapture bring faithful saints to their full eternal reward, that is, the redemption of their bodies at His coming for us. Moreover, everyone who does what is right has been born of Him, reveals the effect, righteous behavior, back to the cause, the new birth, being born again, and indicates that righteous living is not merely, not only an outward profession, but evidences an inward regeneration, born of Him, born from above, which has in fact taken place, which gives us even more personal assurance of our salvation. Born of Him is God's wonderful inner transformation, regeneration of the true believer. However, believers still yearn for glorification when believers will be like Him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And this will come to pass for all who remain in Him, to be like God, to be Christ-like. To God be the glory. How's your perseverance? Are you an overcomer in Christ? Commit yourself to Him always, refusing to leave the Lord, to remain in Him.
Safe in the arms of Jesus. Thank you.
Brother Johnson's sermon gives us a good, clear advice. We pray that you are already a Christian. If you are not, please consider making this important decision today. If you need spiritual guidance, feel free to contact us by paper mail or email. To receive a free CD of this program, along with the one that was on last week, request CD number 2314. That's 2314. Thank you for listening, and we pray that you have been blessed by what you heard today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.